GoDaddy.com. Use the code BLU139 to get 10% off any combination of purchases at GoDaddy.com. See site for details. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Tango Tango Papa 1374, July 13, 2010.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Interstate 40 in western Arkansas. I was able to stop by home on my way from California to Tennessee last night. I got home, I guess it was probably around 10:30. And then I left there, I guess it was about 7:30 this evening. Got out of there and started heading on towards Tennessee. Now, I could have spent the night there and got up early in the morning to drive to Lebanon, Tennessee. I think the load unloads at 8 p.m. there in Lebanon. However, didn't really want to get up early, and so it's just easier to drive part of the way. I'm probably going to drive over by a stop over by Little Rock and Maumelle, Arkansas, and just spend the night right there, then get up in the morning and drive the rest of the way over to Lebanon. And that may actually, if it's the place I'm thinking about, even though it's got an unloading appointment time, it may actually be a drop and hook. So, you know, we'll see when we get there. But now I could have, I could have tried to get there, you know, not stop at home and try to get on over there to Lebanon as soon as possible. But that really would have been probably counterproductive, because by the time I went out to California and back, you know, I'm kind of getting, you know, I used up a bunch of my hours on my logbook, so had to have, you know, kind of leave this extra day in here where I didn't drive much to kind of allow the thing to kind of catch up a little bit. So there's really no point in trying to get there as soon as I can, or as soon as I could, because, you know, once I got there, I'd have to sit. You know, it's just going to come, you got a limited amount of hours, you're going to use them up one way or the other. So, it's better just to, you know, I was able to just stop by home and, spend the night at home, and then had, my parents are around, so I had went and had lunch with them this afternoon, and kind of spent a little bit of time on the computer, watched a couple of movies. And by the way, I talked about in the last podcast that I put up last night, I talked about that day, what was it? It was Mojados Through the Night. And then I watched a Netflix movie. I had this Netflix Blu-ray that came in of a movie that from 2004, and I'm going to play the trailer for that a little bit later in the podcast, but it's called I, Robot, starring Will Smith. And I'd never seen that. I had heard about it. Wow, there's some lightning. That was pretty impressive. I had heard about the movie, but I'd never seen it, and I don't know, it was an interesting movie. I enjoyed it. It had some interesting concepts in it, but there were some definite problems sort of with, not only with the plot, but primarily with the motivations of the different people, you know, that made up the story. You know, the Will Smith character is obviously the hero of the story, and then, you know, his motivation was really kind of convoluted, you know, because his motivation was that he just didn't like robots, you know, but it was for a kind of a really convoluted reason. And, you know, and then he has this, you know, his boss, you know, because Will Smith's this policeman, and then he's got this boss that, you know, his character just kind of really came across as sort of flat and not really, again, you know, the motivations were kind of wrong. You know, and then there was this, you know, the president of the robot company, it was U.S. Robotics or whatever it was, the president of the robotics company, you know, they kind of paint him a little bit as a villain, but, you know, and, you know, there's some real problems with the plot in that, but nonetheless, I enjoyed the movie. I thought that it was, you know, it had some, as I say, it had some interesting ideas in it. And, you know, they tried to kind of pay homage to Isaac Asimov that, you know, wrote a series of books, you know, iRobot and so on and so forth, about robots and the laws of the first law of robotics, second law of robotics, third law of robotics. And I remember reading those many years ago, so they kind of paid homage to him. But I don't know. Overall, the movie had a lot of the parts of it really had this feel where it was, you know, like it was one of these comic book type movies. Now, I don't know that iRobot, I don't know if there was ever a comic book series. I'm assuming there probably was. Now that I think about it, but it did have, you know, a real comic book sort of feel to it. So, you know, like these comic, you know, where they take the comic book, the superhero, and kind of make a movie around it using real people, you know. And so it had that feel to it, but it was interesting. They could have done a little bit better job with the characters' motivations, because those were just kind of unbelievable. You know, and then, I don't know, it was, overall, there were, as I say, the whoever wrote the plot, you know, there were some problems with it, and then it may be that whoever directed it and put it to, you know, when they cut it up, they may have, you know, they decided, well, you know, and I don't know this to be true, but they may have decided, well, this is just too long. We're going to have to cut parts of this out and kind of, you know, to trim it down. And then it kind of made the, you know, if they're not careful how they do that, it can kind of make the whole story become kind of unbelievably convoluted, and the motivations aren't right. So, you know, you can, you know, it's proven with Star Trek. You can take, you know, just the original Star Trek series. You know, they had kind of cheesy, oftentimes they had sort of cheesy sets that they filmed on, and some of their monsters were just completely silly looking. But the thing that made Star Trek, the original series, the thing that made that work was because the acting was really good usually, and then they also were very careful to have the right motivations. So then they were, they're telling a story that's just fantasy, but they're telling, in that story that's fantasy, they're telling this human story about human beings interacting with each other. And that's the part that the original series and most of the rest of the series of Star Trek, that's the part that they always concentrated on, was the human interaction part. The other stuff was sort of fantasy, just out and out fantasy. But the human interaction part was the part that made it really good. And it's, it holds up. You can watch those original Star Trek series to this day, and the stories hold up. Even though the things look totally antiquated as far as the sets and the really lack of special effects, etc., etc. That's really not what does it. It's the what makes it is the the part where the interaction part, and any other part that makes that work, of course, is it was a morality play. Every one of those Star Trek episodes was really a morality play, good versus evil. You had the good versus evil going on. And that's what's lacking from a lot of movies and TV shows today. If they could get the good versus evil part right, it can make the story so much better. You can only go so far with, as I've said many times, you can only go so far with special effects and so on and so forth. And of course, those have gotten fantastic. You can have these wonderful special effects. And of course, the classic movie for that is Twister. Wonderful special effects, no plot. It's just these sleazy people, and there's no plot to it. It's not good versus evil. It's just, wow, look what we can do with simulating tornadoes. and it's kind of sad, because they could make a lot of these movies so much more, and some of them would actually probably make more money if they did that, than they do. So, I don't know, but I can't play that right now, obviously, because I'm driving the trailer for it, or iRobot. But I'll play that a little bit later once I've stopped, and when I assemble this. Now, that other movie, that Mojados Through the Night, that was about the illegal aliens, sneaking into Texas and walking all the way across the, it's really desolate down in South Texas. It's really a quasi-desert down there. And it's really, there's some really rough land down there as far as, the heat and the cold in the winter. And, and there's just not much civilization in that part that they were walking in. They were just walking out in the wilderness, basically. And there's not much, they were drinking contaminated water, and when they could find it, because they're, it's kind of hard to, that is kind of an arid land down there, sort of semi-arid. It's not a full-fledged desert, but it's kind of bordering on it, and but it's an interesting story. But, I got to thinking today, of course, this was designed, you want to have sympathy for these people and you want to see them succeed, and they're showing the Border Patrol, the Border Patrol are after them, and a bunch of them do get caught by the Border Patrol. And so they're trying to avoid the Border Patrol. They're trying to avoid being seen by anyone that's driving by in cars or whatever. And so, it is kind of a tragic story in that sense. But, what is really inhumane about it is not that we have Border Patrol and we're trying to protect the integrity of our country, the territory. The real tragedy of it is that we allow them in the first place. you know, why, I know that's a big border, but, you know, we could do a whole lot better job of keeping those people out. You know, just don't, you know, because we're kind of giving them the opportunity to come in and then walk across and then try to walk for 4 days to, you know, in that heat or the cold, you know, especially in the cold and the lack of water, lack of food. That's the, you know, why do we let them get that far? That's really the inhumane part. You know, we shouldn't let them in the first place. We should not let them in the first place. You know, if you, let's use an analogy. Let's say you've got a factory or something that's just really dangerous. Let's say you have something that's really dangerous. Well, for example, I can use this example. You know, we got that oil spill going down in the Gulf right now, right? Okay, well, they're doing from what I've seen, they're really, you know, they've got some of these beaches closed down because there's this toxic stuff that's washing up. And they've got these beaches closed down, and they're really enforcing it, you know, and they're actually taking people off to jail that are on those beaches, that, you know, and they're not supposed to be, and so they're really policing that. Well, the equivalent would be someone, you know, just you know, not having enough guards to protect that, you know, to keep the people away from that dangerous area on the beach, on those contaminated beaches down in the Gulf. Just not have enough guards and let people in and allow them to get contaminated. You know, that would be that's inhumane. So if you got something really dangerous, then you want to keep people out of it. And that Texas, you know, South Texas, you know, walking across the deserted parts of it, it's just farmland, ranch land, you know... And it's very sparsely populated. Parts of it are just, there's just no people, nothing. Allowing people in, that's actually dangerous. That's dangerous land. And allowing people in like that is inhumane. That's the inhumanity. We should be, you know, if we're going to protect our borders, then we should protect the borders and just not let those people in. And we've got enough, if we've got enough manpower and resources to do all the things that we do, that we enforce strictly, then why in the world aren't we enforcing that border? Because that's important. You know, why are we allowing those people in and, you know, and putting themselves in that kind of danger, in a really dangerous position of walking across South Texas? You know, that's the real inhumanity. And so we should, you know, one of the solutions is to really seal that border to stop those people, because they're, you know, they may not have they're not making as much money in Mexico, obviously, as they could make in the United States, but on the other hand, they're alive, they looked pretty healthy, when, you know, and you know, their kids looked healthy, you know, in fact, they kind of, you know, the adults kind of looked a little fat. So, you know, they're getting plenty to eat. They had nice-looking clothes. So what in the world, you know, they have a nice life down there. It's not really, not maybe what some of us would consider a nice life, but at least they're alive and they have a life to live down there. And then here they are, you know, some of them are taking this tremendous risk, risking real death, you know, walking across what is essentially a desert. So, you know, as I say, one solution is to really, really protect that border better and just not allow them in the first place, you know, because we're protecting them from some dangerous territory. Secondly, we need to do things that improve their lot in life. We need to somehow encourage Mexico to help educate those people, and, you know, maybe somehow begin to change that Mexican system where you have, you know, these you know, these powerful, rich, powerful, elite people that want to, you know, that benefit by, you know, they derive personal benefit by keeping this massive underclass of people, you know, kind of keeping them down economically. You know, so, you know, so it's and sort of keeping them in a state of perpetual dependence. You know, so if we could change that, then, you know, they've got a beauty, as I was saying in the last podcast, they've got a beautiful country down there. It's full of resources, just as many resources, if not more, than we have in the United States. But the difference, you know, there's this problem in their minds. And that's really where our problem is, also in our minds. That's where problems exist. Problems, you know, you can have a physical problem. You know, physical problems are pretty easy to solve if, you know, you got your mind right. But our real problem as human beings is in our minds. And where our allegiances are, you know, what our allegiances are sort of enslaved to, you know. And many of us, you know, our allegiances are enslaved to the wrong things. And of course, at the same time, you know, when your allegiances are enslaved to the wrong things, at the same time, it's kind of giving you this illusion. And it's a lie, but it gives you this illusion that you're really in charge. You're really the cat's meow. You're really, you know, you're really God in your own mind. When in fact, you're just a slave. So, I don't know, you know, but Mexico could, you know, it has potential, but then the problem is getting, you know, getting those people, because they're basically decent people. But if they could just kind of, you know, someone could help them somehow overcome this, you know, this, it's probably like a cultural enslavement. Or, you know, it's certainly, there's some kind of an enslavement that, you know, that goes on down there as far as people being born into that system, and then they live their entire lives in the system. They raise their kids in that system. It's akin to being, you know, someone being born in an inner city ghetto, like in Chicago or New York City, and then you know, they're born into that, and they have that pounded into their head, and then they have a hard, you know, they can't escape it. You know, they live their entire lives. There are people that live their entire lives in a ghetto situation. And when they could easily get out, but their minds are enslaved. You know, their minds are enslaved. They're not physically, nobody's restraining them and telling them they can't leave the ghetto, but their minds are enslaved. And that's really the root of our problem, is our minds become enslaved. So I don't know, but you know, as far as I say that, as far as that border situation, it should never, you know, we should be protecting those people by sealing that border. We would be protecting the Mexican people from the danger of trying to walk across, you know, those uninhabited parts of Texas that they're trying to sneak across, you know, so. But, I don't know, people look at that, you know, you could watch a movie like that, and then people get all sympathetic, you know, oh, let's just let them in, they're just trying to have a better life, let's just let them in, you know. Well, you know, you can't do that, because if you, you know, if you're going to have a country, then you know, that country has to have borders. You know, the Mexicans understand that, you know, they don't, you know, you try to go down there, and they're going to make you follow their laws, and they're pretty strict about making you follow their immigration laws. You know, when there are Americans that move to Mexico, or you know, go to Mexico, and you know, if you want to move to Mexico, they're very strict about what they will allow you to do. You know, you can't have a, for example, you can't have a job, you can't work, and you can't make any political problems. You know, they've got laws against that as well. You stir the pot, they won't let you stir anybody up, or try to change the system, you know, if you try to move down there. So it's, you know, they're enforcing their borders, but somehow we don't. You know, we just want to, oh, wink, wink, nod, nod, let him in. You know, which is the most cruel thing of all.
La donna immobile, qual piuma al vento, muta d'accento e di pensiero. Sempre una mobile, leggiadro viso, in pianto e riso, e menzognero. La donna è mobile, qua di umano vento, muta d'accento e di pensiere. E di pensiere. È sempre misero chi a lei s'affida, chi le confida, malcauto il cuore, pur mai non sentasi felice appieno, chi in su quel seno non li va amore. La donna è mobile, qual piuma al vento, muta d'accento e di pensiere. E di pensiere.
Well, it's now a few hours later. I have stopped at Maumelle, Arkansas. There's a Shell sort of a fuel stop here that's been here for quite a few years, next door to McDonald's, and then there's a like a Quality Inn across the street and a bunch of other stuff. And so I've stopped here quite a few times in the past. It's kind of amazed. At least when I stopped, I stopped here, it was about 11 o'clock or 11:15, there were quite a few parking places left. Sometimes this place can fill up, and then other times, I've always been able to usually find a place to park here, but there were quite a few places left at least at 11:15 when I stopped. So, I'm sure that some of them are, you know, it's later now, so some of them are probably filled, but I think generally there are just fewer trucks on the road. I think that's just a kind of generally true all over the country. So, in any case, what we just listened to was that was Luciano Pavarotti, and that was La Donna Mobile, or I can't pronounce that. It's Italian, obviously. So, I don't know. Lately, you know, since I've been messing with the Pandora, you know, I've kind of decided, you know, I've just started listening to different opera music, because that's one, you know, I'm pretty familiar with a lot of just general classical music and organ classical music, but not, I've never really gotten into the opera stuff. And so I've decided I kind of want to, you know, I wanted to sort of expand my musical horizons. So I've been listening to quite a bit of the opera stuff on Pandora, you know, the last few days, via, you know, streaming on my phone, which works fabulously well. We're now to the point, even with One X, You know, and this may be, you know, old hat for a lot of people. But even with One X, we're now to the point where streaming works. I've tried it before. I've tried, you know, streaming radio stations on my, you know, when I had those other phones with One X. And periodically, now, of course, it was Windows Mobile, it would drop out. And then when it, you know, when it dropped out for too long, like if you lost the cell for a while, you know, in a hilly area or whatever, it would never pick it back up. But now, with the Android, at least this app that I have, with, or the Pandora app, now I don't know about the other apps that I have that do streaming, but with the Pandora app, it actually will pick it back up. Once you get a cell signal, it seems like it will pick, it's pretty good about picking it back up and starting the stream once again. So we're now, I'd say, to the point where streaming really is an option while you're driving, streaming radio, you know, so that just vastly, as long as you've got a data connection on your phone, that vastly, of course you have to have an app for it, but that vastly increases your choices. I mean, why be limited to just, you know, regular radio or even satellite radio when you've got a service that's available like Pandora, and then plus there are literally thousands of other streaming radio options. Who cares about regular radio, or who cares about even satellite radio? Why would you pay for satellite radio? I know I did at one point, but that's been enough, you know, that was way back in 2003, 2004. And, you know, after podcasting came along in 2005, you know, and I wasn't listening to the XM anymore, I dropped it. I canceled it. What's the point of paying for something that you're not using? So there are vast, you know, there's a vast array of options that are much better now than even satellite radio. If you, you know, if you're intent on listening to different types of music or talk or whatever, you can get anything now. And so streaming is, even though streaming, you know, the idea of streaming radio, streaming music, etc., has been around for a long time, it's now to the point really where it becomes a practical option, you know, for when you're driving around in your vehicle. So that opens up a whole, you know, pardon the pun, Pandora's box. You know, so that's I don't know, that's going to probably is the, I wrote this article earlier today about smartphones, you know, and kind of, you know, they're to the point now where they've kind of reached critical mass, because the what has happened, you know, in this article, I kind of went, you know, I talked about the iPhone, which was released about 3 years ago, and of course it was a game changer for a lot of, you know, it in at least for the smartphone business, it was a complete game changer. But you know, when it was initially released, you had that AT&T Edge network, and it was kind of slow, and people were really trying to push the envelope with it, but it was really limited by that network. And then over time, the networks improved, but in the meantime, you know, it wasn't long, Google came out with, you know, they announced Google Android, and of course the initial release of Google Android showed a little bit of promise, but it wasn't anything like an iPhone. And it, you know, so it's been a couple of years now, and that's been continuing to develop. Well, now Android is to the point where it's really viable. It's a viable competitor to the iPhone, and of course they've released the iPhone 4. Of course, you know, that now the iPhone, since it was tied to AT&T, I think it really did kind of retard the smartphone market. I think that Apple would have been able, if they would have made it an open thing where it could work on, it was sort of network agnostic, where it would work on a variety of networks, not just be tied to the exclusive deal with AT&T, it would have, you know, the iPhone would have way more than the market share that it already has. Why does that keep doing that? Let me dim my screen down. Maybe that'll cause it to quit. There we go. So in any case, you know, that kind of Apple kind of, because they had that exclusivity thing, they kind of ended up not getting as much smartphone market share as they possibly could have. But at the same time, they made a mint from having that exclusivity deal with AT&T. But what that has done, it enabled the other, you know, all of the carriers to really beef up their data networks in particular, and including, you know, Sprint and Verizon, as well as AT&T's been, you know, ever since the iPhone came along, they've been really trying to boost their stuff. They've had a hard time keeping up, but and they've got their problems, but so in any case, Sprint now has, you know, 3G most every place. There's some places it doesn't, and Verizon is kind of the same way. Verizon's network really is the best one. Between, you know, Sprint's not too far behind them, but Verizon probably has better coverage and more 3G coverage than Sprint does. But again, it's pretty close. So in my experience, you know, because I have, you know, a Verizon Air card and a Sprint, you know, Sprint phone with data connection. So the both of those networks, along with AT&T's, are ready for, you know, the Sprint and the Verizon are ready for smartphones. They're, you know, they're just raring to go. And so Android kind of, you know, the newer versions of Android really kind of become a viable competitor to the iPhone off of the AT&T network. So, it, you know, now you can have a really good smart, super smartphone that will work with AT&T or Verizon, you know, either one. And so, and then some of the other reseller networks, I would assume. So in any case, you now have the bandwidth and you now have the hardware and the software, you know, in the form of the Android operating system, and then the apps are coming along. So all of that is coming at the, together at the same time. But then you've also got the consumer. You know, the consumer is now ready for the smartphone. That's another part of this equation, because people have been used to dumb phones that kind of have some, that had some rudimentary sort of smartphone features. This LG phone, I've got this LG flip phone that I still use for my alarm clock. You know, I've had it for probably, 5 years at this point, at least. And it, or more, and it, you know, it's, it would do, you know, like rudimentary email, and I didn't ever really pay for the web browsing. That was kind of an add-on if you wanted to add it on, and that's, that's from 5 years ago or more. That was an add-on. I never did really do that, and they were kind of experimenting with putting little apps on this flip phone, and so it had some, you know, and it had a game or two in there that was, you know, kind of a little, really, little tiny, antiquated, or not really antiquated, but what's the word I'm looking for? Sort of almost like prehistoric game compared to what's possible today. But, you know, so people have been, I've watched people play with their phones. I've watched, you know, people play with their cell phones constantly. If it's a, you know, even the dumb phones, people are constantly, you go in a restaurant or you go in any public place, and I'm watching average, ordinary people. I've been doing it for years, you know, because I can't help but just kind of watch people and kind of notice what they're doing. And people play with their phones. And so they're already used to playing with their phones. And so now the smartphone is ready. And, you know, everything's coming together. And so people are, this one article I was reading earlier today that Ken sent me, day, you know, HTC is having a devil of a time, as well as, I think, Motorola. They're having a devil of a time keeping up with the demand. The demand for the different versions of Android phones is really outstripping HTC's ability, and maybe Motorola's. It's outstripping their ability to keep up. You know, the demand for it is just off the chart. So, you know, it's kind of gotten to the point where it's hit critical mass. So, you know, and of course, once people get a smartphone, what are they going to do? You know, an Android smartphone, what are they going to do? They're going to start experimenting with it. And, you know, of course, Google makes it very easy with that Google, you know, with the marketplace, the Android marketplace. It's just super easy to just start searching and finding apps, a lot of free apps. Some of them are paid. Now, I haven't bought any apps yet. Still kind of in the decision process of what I really want, but I've got a lot of free apps on my phone. Some of them are extremely useful, very clever. And so people are beginning, you know, the people that just had their, maybe they had their gadgets, they had their dumb phones before, now they've got their smartphone, they begin to experiment with it. And they're experimenting a lot with it. So, and we're talking average people doing it. You know, it's not just the geek thing. You know, because smartphones, the idea of smartphones has been around for a long time. And they're, you know, I've had a smartphone, quote unquote, for, you know, more than 4 years before I got this HTC Evo. So, you know, and this HTC Evo, it's interesting because I had lunch with my parents today. And, you know, my parents, you know, when I was home the last time, I showed them my phone, of course. Well, you know, I believe, my mom could be tempted into getting a smartphone. You know, 85 years old. You know, and she's got a regular phone, and she's kind of figured out how, you know, it'll do a little rudimentary web browsing and text messaging and what have you, and she's figured the text messaging out. You know, she knows how to receive text messages. You know, she's figured that out, you know, I don't know, a long time ago. And so she can get on there, and it's got a little tiny screen, of course, but she can get like CNN headlines and read little stories on it, and news stories and what have you. And so I believe she could, next time it's time for them to get a new phone, she could probably be tempted into getting a smartphone, you know, like an Android-based smartphone. Because she, you know, I think that she could really use my phone and probably, you know, really figure it out more easily than the Motorola dumb phone that she's got, that she's had for a couple of years now. So, because it wasn't an easy phone, you know, it didn't really have an easy interface, and she has figured it out. So, you know, and the Android now is to the point where it's really easy. So, the thing is, the streaming is going to catch on. You know, it's even though it's been around for a long time now, and people, it kind of had an initial thing, and then it's there, and you kind of ignore it, and it's been around for quite, you know, a number of years, but all of a sudden now, I think you're going to see the people begin to use it in their cars and their trucks while they're driving, and it's a viable option at this point. You know, while I was home this afternoon, I plugged my phone, you know, started up Pandora, plugged the phone into my, basically, you know, the surround sound system I have in my living room, plugged it in, and I tuned it to Pandora, and I was listening, and I, you know, just to the, now, but the Pandora app, you know, is, they give you a choice. The default choice is just the basic, you know, the basic stream, and it sounds good, and so that's what I had, you know, basically I just wanted to listen to it on a really good speaker system and see if it really sounded as good as it did with the earbuds, and it does, it sounds great, and then they give you a choice of a higher bandwidth stream, if you've got a good data connection, then they give you a better, you know, you can get a better thing. And I haven't really experimented with that at all. But obviously, if you're driving around and, you know, the lower bandwidth stream is more than adequate, especially in a vehicle. So it really is a viable option at this point. And people are going to begin to realize that. So I'd say that, you know, the people that are in the regular broadcast business were already in trouble. But now they're really in trouble. And I don't know if they realize it or not yet. The radio business is not a business I'd want to be in. And probably, you know, the TV business is the same way. You know, the local TV stations and the networks, they're in trouble. They know it. I think they know it. Or they, you know, maybe they don't realize. Maybe some of them do realize and some of them don't. But, you know, it's funny how people that are, they're kind of in that business, you know, in the business that they've had, but they oftentimes they can't change, they can't really adapt. If there's a major shift and the business model that they had before that was perfectly fine, all of a sudden it kind of becomes a broken model because it just won't work anymore. And they have a terrible time shifting to a model that will work. Whereas people that are just kind of coming into it can grasp the fact of that new model. They can get that, they understand how to make the new model work. And so you have different people that can be very successful on whatever that new model is at the same, you know. You know, why couldn't those people that were already in that business, why couldn't they make the jump? And most of the time they cannot. You know, when an innovation comes, some kind of an innovation comes along and things change, oftentimes businesses that are in an existing business can't quite make the shift to the new paradigm. So it's an interesting thing how that works. But you know, it's really, we're really poised at this point to, you know, media really is kind of shifting away from traditional, you know, the traditional broadcast way of doing things. And it's really now shift, you know, we're to the point now where it's shifting to the internet. It's kind of like podcasting. Podcasting kind of came along at a point where the bandwidth was basically good enough for it to work, and then the idea came together, you know, because you had MP3 files, you know, that have been around for a long time. Even when podcasting came along in late 2004, MP3 files had already been around for a long time, and you know, the RSS stuff had been around for a while, and you know, computers all had sound cards and they could record and so on and so forth. And so, you know, Adam Curry and Dave Weiner basically put those three things together, and what made it possible was the bandwidth got to the point where it was viable. And it took off. So, you know, it's possible also that with all of the additional smartphones, that podcasting, you know, because there have been people that said, oh, podcasting is just kind of ho-hum now. You know, because it made an initial splash, and then now, oh, well, it's just ho-hum. It you know, it has a use, but it's not that big of a deal. It may, as the smartphone really gets into the pockets of the vast majority of people that are carrying cell phones globally, you know, podcasting may also... you know, it will benefit from it, I think. Yeah, I think it really will. Because you've got mass numbers of people that are going to be moving into the realm of the smartphone. You've basically got, you know, like this phone that I have, you know, this new phone, this HTC Sense, What it is, basically, one way you can think about it, I have an internet connection. That phone is connected to the internet. It's a network node that's online 24/7. It's a personal network node. You know, and a network node, if you don't know, you know, a network node is basically a device that has an IP address. It's on the internet, you know, that's up and has an IP address on the internet. And so basically we are now carrying around, if you're carrying around a smartphone in your pocket, you've got a network, you've got a connected internet network node right with you all the time. Now, what does that make possible? You know, we don't even really know yet. But when, you know, the more bandwidth, as in the case of podcasting, the bandwidth got to the point where podcasting became viable. Well, as that bandwidth continues to get better, there's going to be other things that all of a sudden become viable that we don't know about yet. We haven't thought of it yet. So it's very interesting what's happening. So we're really, at this point, passing through another revolution, and we may not, you know, kind of might be aware of it as it happens, but, you know, sometimes if you're in the middle of something, you don't really know what happened until you're able to kind of look back and see what happened, you know, so it's pretty interesting stuff. So, anyway, it's been a while since I played any of the, you know, gone through any of the movie trailers, and I've kind of collected them. So I'm going to go ahead and kind of go through the box office here. I wanted to go ahead and play this trailer for iRobot, the movie I was talking about initially. It's, as I say, it's a very interesting movie. They've got some very clever parts in it, very interesting ideas. I love the look of it. Of course, I had the Netflix Blu-ray, and it looked fabulous. It had a lot of computer-generated stuff in it. The robots obviously were computer-generated. They looked good. And they had, it was like 20, supposed to be 2035 Chicago, and so they had this. Obviously, they had a lot of CG skyline type stuff, and I liked the look of the movie. You know, the overall look of it was very good, and the transfer on the Blu-ray obviously was extremely good. I liked the movie. It just had some plot problems, but overall, you know, it was really worth watching. I don't know if I'd buy the thing or not. I don't know if I want to own it or not, but I did enjoy watching it. So here is the movie for iRobot.
Homicide, Spooner. Identify. Murder's a new trick. Congratulations.
I did not murder him.
I'll explain why you were hiding at the crime scene.
I did not murder him.
He made you angry?
I did not murder him!
You're gonna miss the good old days.
What good old days?
When people were killed by other people.
My robots don't kill people.
That thing threw somebody out of a window. Is that registering with you?
A robot cannot harm a human being. The first law of robotics.
Yeah, I know. The three laws. Your perfect circle of protection. What if it was given an order to kill?
That's impossible. It's a can opener, for God's sake.
You're not suggesting that this robot be charged with homicide.
Baby, you get too worked up. You can't be looking in the shadows all the time.
Are you all right?
Just another normal day, attacked by your robots.
You know, I suspect you simply don't like their kind.
We are on the eve of the largest robotic distribution in history. By Saturday, there will be one robot to every five humans.
How many robots have ever committed a crime? How many robots in the world?
None.
There is no conspiracy. What this is one mistake.
Oh,
Hell no.
Chief, people saying they're robots are going...
What the hell?
Told you so. Just doesn't quite say it.
Get off my car!
Okay, so there was the trailer for iRobot. And if you got a Blu-ray player and a Netflix account, it's worth getting, you know, get the Blu-ray. You know, obviously, I don't know. I don't think this one's available streaming, but... you know, certainly worth a rental. You know, absolutely worth a rental. I, you know, and I'd almost buy it, maybe, if I could get it cheap. But it, as I say, it does have some plot problems. But it's some of it, parts of it were, you know, I really enjoyed the way they did the, kind of the way they did the robot, you know, this one robot character that he's dealing with, you know, that... he thinks committed the murder, you know, because this character is, you know, they, in a way, the robot character is, has more soul, if you will, than the, some, than many of the other people in the movie, you know, because many of the other people in the movie kind of, you know, they appear sort of flat. You know, like the police commissioner's sort of flat, and some of the, you know, and that the head, the, you know, the president of the robot company, you know, is really kind of flat, and you know, it's not a believable character. But so it's a very interesting movie, and it's got some you know, they've thrown in some interesting things. So liked it. So I'm gonna start going through the top 10 box office. And this was the weekend starting July 9. So number one on the list was a movie called Despicable Me. It's been, you know, it's a new movie. It's been in release for 1 week. The weekend total was $60,117,420. The average theater take was $17,285. It's in 3,478 theaters. And so here is the trailer for, if I can find it there, here, Despicable Me's the name of this.
Oh.
Freeze ray! Freeze ray! Freeze ray!
For Gru, being a supervillain isn't easy.
We stole the Statue of Liberty, the small one from Las Vegas.
He has to control...
Listen up, please!
...an army of minions.
Dave?
He has to outsmart...
Ha! What?
...a ruthless archenemy.
He shrink, Ray.
No! I hate that guy.
And he's about to inherit...
Hello?
...three small problems.
You will not cry, or sneeze, or burp, or fart.
No annoying sounds.
Does this count as annoying?
From Universal Pictures...
We are going to pull off the true
crime of the century.
We are going to steal...
Yabu!
And Chris Meledandri, executive producer of Ice Age and Horton Hears a Who.
I shrink the moon. I grab the moon. I sit on the toilet.
With what?
You're funny.
No!
By the time I'm done with Groot, he's gonna be begging for mercy.
No!
We have to warn him. And fast!
This summer... Just because he's a bad guy doesn't mean he's a bad guy.
Three little kittens started to yawn.
Now make them drink the milk.
Wow, this is garbage. Do you actually like this?
Despicable Me. In eye-popping 3D.
All you gotta do is knock down that spaceship there.
Aww. Oh, somebody's got a frowny face.
Okay, my toy.
Knocked over!
It's so fluffy!
Despicable Me.
Okay, so there was the trailer for Despicable Me. And that trailer, of course, they said it was, you know, it's in 3D and, you know, what have you. But the trailer is obviously 2D that I just watched. And it really looks eye-popping, even the 2D version. It's one of these animated movies, you know, kind of the Toy Story type movie. But it really looks, you know... You look at, you know, if you play one of those on, you know, an HD set, you know, it's really amazing how much detail they put in those. You know, it's just, but this looks particularly, you know, the graphics.
Excuse me.
The graphics look particularly great. So, you know, the animation... You know, on these animated movies, and this is obviously aimed at a younger audience or a family audience, is really spectacular looking. You know, just even in this clip that I downloaded from YouTube. So, number two on the list is The Twilight Saga Eclipse, and I believe I've already played the trailer for that. Let me check and make sure. No, I haven't. Okay, so I'll play the trailer for that here in just a bit. So that has been in release for 2 weeks. It's this weekend it grossed $33,350,000. It's in 4,468 theaters. The average theater take for the second week was $7,464. And the gross to date is $237,000,000. $12,377. And so here is the trailer for the Twilight Saga Eclipse.
Isabella Swan, I promise to love you every moment forever.
She's still human. The Volturi don't give second chances.
Why are you so against me becoming like you?
I know the consequences of the choice you're making. After a few decades, everyone you know will be dead.
You wouldn't have to change for me, Bella. I'm in love with you, and I want you to pick me instead of him. You have to consider the idea that I might be better for her than you are.
Edward. She found us.
I'll protect you, no matter what.
You don't know what you're getting yourself into.
I'm gonna fight for you until your heart stops beating.
Okay, so there was the trailer for the Twilight Saga Eclipse. Not, you know, the photography in that looks absolutely stunning. You know, the cinematography. I'm not sure, you know, the way they have the character, you know, the actors, they sort of, I kept expecting it to be a vampire movie. So I really don't know if it's a vampire movie or not. I kind of get the impression that it might be, but I don't know. But it looks stunning. Don't know, you know, I didn't get enough out of the trailer. You know, it's kind of a love story, obviously, you know, with some kind of a conflict in it. But I didn't get enough out of the trailer. I don't know if I'd want to watch it or not. You know, it just depends, but... So in any case, that trailer just didn't entice me to, you know, if I was kind of poking around on Netflix and I found that trailer or, you know, that movie, depending on what the description was, I probably, you know, at least from the trailer, they didn't tell me what it was really about other than it's a love story, you know, but, you know, what's the conflict? You know, they didn't really say, so I don't know. But just based on that trailer, I probably, even on Netflix, I probably wouldn't, you know, when it becomes available, I probably wouldn't add it to my DVD Blu-ray list. But anyway, you know, it's grossing a lot of money, so somebody liked it. Number three on the list is Predators. And it had a weekend box office of $25,300,000. It's been in release for 1 week. It's in 2,669 theaters. Had an average theater take of $9,479. Gross to date is the same, obviously, because it's only been in release 1 week. And so here is the trailer for Predators.
What's the last thing you remembered?
All of a sudden there was a light, and then I was falling.
So who are you?
I was supposed to be executed 2 days ago.
And I was in combat.
So was I.
Black Ops. Who would do this to us?
Chosen
for what?
We're all brought here for the same purpose. We're being hunted.
What?
This planet is a game preserve. We're the game.
Okay, so there was the trailer for Predators, and it's obviously, I think, there was a movie, Predator, that's from a number of years ago that starred Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I think this is kind of a takeoff on that. It's kind of the Predator, you know, where you had this kind of an invisible thing, you know, that was, you know, kind of hunting Arnold Schwarzenegger and whoever else was in the movie. And so this is basically, it looks like it's a group of people that went to some planet where these predators are, and they're being hunted. And so I don't know. I remember watching the Predator movie, you know, but way back when, and it was okay. I really wouldn't seek it out again and watch it again. So I don't know, you know, this kind of a movie, I just don't know if I'd make a point. I might add it to my Netflix. I'd probably add it to, you know, when it becomes available, I will probably add it to my Netflix queue. You know, just, it looks like it might be, you know, it might be worth watching. But that's the beauty of Netflix. It really is. Because you can, you know, you can not only stream stuff, but you have the DVD queue, and then you can find movies that, you know, if you get a dud, then it's not that big of a deal, you know, or if you get one that's sort of semi-okay, you know, that's, it's not that big of a deal, because you've got an all-you-can-eat setup with it, you know, so, By the way, if you've not signed up for Netflix, throw my little plug in here. Go to TruckerTomPodcast.com and look in the show notes for this podcast. You'll see a square red Netflix banner. It's about the size of a postage stamp or a little bit bigger. And click on, use that link and sign up for the Netflix free trial. It's a great service. You know, after I got my Blu-ray player, I signed up for it. That's kind of what prompted me, you know, at home, because it had the Netflix built into it, and that's what prompted me to sign up for it. And I've just really been enjoying it, you know. And now, and that's going to be true even more since I canceled my Dish Network account. So, but it, you know, if you're inclined to sign up for Netflix, you know, use my if you would be kind enough, use my link to it, and I do get paid a little bit. So, in any case, let's go on. So that was Predators. So the next one on the list, number four, is Toy Story 3, and I have played the trailer for that in the past. It had a weekend gross of $22,021,000. It's been in release for a month or 4 weeks. It's in 3,753 theaters. It had a weekend take, or an average theater take rather, of $5,867. And the gross to date is $340,246,000. So that's a third of a, you know, about a third of $1 billion almost. That's amazing. Number five on the list is The Last Airbender. And it had a weekend take of $17,150,000. It's been in release for 2 weeks. It's in 3,203 theaters. The weekend box office take, or average theater take, was $5,354. Gross to date is $100,227,000. And so here is the trailer. If I can find it, I know I have it here somewhere. For The Last Airbender.
Of your kind, all that remains of a once powerful nation.
I knew you were real. I always knew you'd return.
You are the only one who can bring balance to a world at war. But some will stop at nothing to destroy you.
Destinies are tied, Zuko.
We started a rebellion.
He will need you. And we all need him.
Okay, so there was the trailer for The Last Airbender. That looks like it's really got some interesting photography in it. Obviously, they've done a lot of computer graphics. It's got an interesting look to it. The trailer does. It's one of these movies where there's a lot of martial arts type fighting in it, you know, and they're trying to make it look sort of highly stylized. It, you know, from the, what I saw in the trailer, it sort of reminded me of The Matrix a little bit, you know, as far as you know, the moves that they were, you know, obviously impossible moves that people can't actually make, but you can if you have computer graphics. So I don't know, you know, obviously, you know, that the movie's gotten some popularity, so again, probably maybe add that to my next Netflix queue when it becomes available. Let's see here. The next one on the list, at number 6, is called Grown Ups. It had a weekend box office take of $16,400,000. It's been in release for 3 weeks. It had an average... It's in... let's see. It's in 3,463 theaters. The weekend average... theater take was $4,735, and the gross to date is $111,315,000. And have I played the trailer for that? I believe I have. Yep, I have. Okay. So number 7 on the list, I've also played the trailer for, is Night and Day, and you spell Night, K-N-I-G-H-T, Night and Day, and it had a weekend take of $7,850,000. It's number, it's been in release for 3 weeks. It's in 2,628 theaters. The weekend, I'm sorry, the average theater take was $2,987. Gross to date, $61,938,859. Number 8 is The Karate Kid. It had a weekend box office take of $5,700,000. It's been in release for 5 weeks. It's in 2,458 theaters. And the average theater take was $2,318. Gross to date, $164,600,000. Number 9 on the list is The A-Team, and it had a weekend take of $1,800,000. It's been in release for 5 weeks. It's in 1,236 theaters. The theater average was $1,456 for this week, and it has a gross to date of $73,971,173. And finally, number 10 on the list is... Cyrus, C-Y-R-U-S. It had a weekend take of $1,375,000. It's been in release for 4 weeks. It's in 200 theaters. The theater average take for this week was $6,875. And it's a gross to date of $3,521,075. And so here is the... trailer for Cyrus.
I am in a tailspin. I'm lonely, borderline desperate.
Don't you want me?
I have so much to give, you know? I have all these gifts. I'm like, I'm a blast.
We're kind of like having a conversation here.
Oh,
so,
okay. I'm gonna have some conversations too here eventually. My ex-wife, she's getting remarried, but I'm fine with it.
Well, yeah, I overheard your speech over there on the couch.
Oh.
Well, I thought it was really honest.
Are you flirting with me? I'm like Shrek. What are you doing? What are you doing here in the forest?
Say that.
Shrek.
There was a time,
I know I'm not supposed to say this, but I really like you. Is it crazy for me to say I want it to work out? Amazing. Man, I can't believe how deep into it I am.
I love being with you.
Hey, guys.
Whoa.
Sorry for interrupting you.
She has a grown son.
Oh, my God.
I'm Cyrus. To John, our new friend. So, are you going to stay the night?
I haven't had a man over since Cyrus was born.
It's great to finally have a new dad. Night, John.
Actually, your mom's in the shop.
The light is in your hair in this gray way. It's like a crippled tree reaching for heaven.
The kid seems really weird. He was messing with me.
You're paranoid.
You are out of your league.
I will knock you out.
What?
From Fox Searchlight Pictures.
Hi, John.
Comes a brutally honest comedy.
Your son hates me.
How long have you felt like this?
It's been building.
He's very mature, but he's not coming to himself yet.
I'm so proud of how close we are.
John C. Reilly, Jonah Hill, Marissa Tomei, Catherine Keener.
Listen to me, you little weirdo. If you want to mess with me, I want to mess with you right back.
Oh, buddy.
Everything okay?
Okay, so there was the trailer for Cyrus, and as I was watching that, that actually looks very interesting, because, you know, at first, you know, they were showing the guy and then the gal, and I was thinking, oh, it's a typical love story. And then they introduce, you know, she's got this grown-up son that lives with her and apparently has a very kind of a dysfunctionally close relationship with the son. And, you know, there's obviously a tremendous conflict between this guy and the son, you know, because the son's very jealous. So that's actually, I'm going to make a point of watching that. I suspected that that was kind of an indie movie that a film studio picked up, and I'm pretty sure that's what it was, because at first it threw some graphics up saying that it was a hit at the Sundance Film Festival. So that looks interesting. So that's definitely, when that appears on the in the Netflix queue, or you know, it appears on Netflix, I'm going to pop that into my queue one way or the other. It'll probably end up, possibly it'll end up on the streaming side, but it just depends. But that looks really interesting, because you got this, you know, the dysfunctional family dynamics going on. So that one is obviously worth watching. So anyhow, probably better be cutting this off, see if I can get headed to bed, get up tomorrow and drive the rest of the way to Lebanon, Tennessee. So, in any case, hope everyone has a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.